Hey, everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to A Storm-Battered Liverpool and this week's minisode. It seems rather fitting with the weather outside to be delivering this week's minisode, given it has some amazing visual descriptions that genuinely have kind of stuck with me ever since reading it. I hope you're all doing perfectly well, and before we start, a quick reminder, we are giving away a free week Patreon at our highest tier, meaning you can gain access to the Patreon-only podcast Dark Bites and its 130-plus hours of content. Just click the link in the show notes, and if it's not for you, simply cancel. But as I've said many times before, if I was not the host of the show, as a paranormal podcast fan, this... The Patreon that we have here, that the Patreons themselves police and have built, is somewhere I would definitely love to be. And of course, in doing so, you support this independent podcast in what is an ever-growing world of celebrity podcasts. So I genuinely appreciate any support you can offer, be that through Patreon, be that through leaving a nice review. And believe me, after recent weeks and things which will remain unmentioned, we could do with it. And also just telling a friend, sharing the show. Everything and anything is beyond appreciated from my perspective, so sincerely, thank you. However, right now it's time for our midweek appetizer before we hit Friday's Dark Paranormal. And today, our experience is named He Clung from the Ceiling, and it comes to us from Chloe. And Chloe writes, Hi Kevin, I've been listening to the Dark Paranormal for a few months now, and I must say I'm hooked. I've always loved anything to do with the paranormal. There's something about not knowing that's just so exciting. Anyways, I'll try not to waffle, but I have a few experiences that I thought I would share. As a heads up, I don't have one great paranormal event, rather a series of things that have happened to me, some perhaps more paranormal than others. Either way, here we go. I thought it best to share my experiences chronologically, because they start from when I was around 3 years old. My family moved around a lot, all over the UK, ranging from Birmingham to Bath to Cambridge. This is simply contextual, not too important, so I'll get back to the point. Myself, my older sister, my mum and dad lived in a flat on the ground floor. It wasn't big by any means, but we got by. And as you can imagine, a small child's biggest concern isn't the size of their house. Now, I will admit that this time frame of my life isn't perfectly clear. But the thing I do remember, as clear as day, are the experiences to follow. As children do, me and my sister, 3 years older than I, would frequently play together. But the time rocked around for her to go to school in the day. I'd say I was quite a creative child, and so I could keep myself busy, drawing or playing by myself when necessary. One day I was alone in the sitting room, playing with a block set my sister and I shared. All was well and good when I caught the sight of a man, rather short in stature and scruffy. He wasn't just standing, though. He clung to the ceiling. It's hard to describe, but he essentially looked like he was clinging to the ceiling on all fours, as in by the tips of his fingers and toes. That's the best way I could describe it. But I felt no fear in his presence. He wasn't doing anything. He was just upside down, hanging from the ceiling on all fours, pulling funny faces at me. If anything, I found it funny. As a result, I assume, I began laughing. My mum came in, probably because she heard me laughing by myself, and asked me what was so funny. The man was now gone. He was nowhere to be seen. Now, I don't remember the next part, but later on, my mum told me that I told her, "Look, there's a man, and he's being naughty on the ceiling." What's chilling isn't the fact I saw him. Later on, my parents were chatting with our kind elderly neighbours, Jenny and Pat, who'd lived there for a very long time. They presumably got onto the topic of what I'd said. And they revealed to my mother and my father that before we moved in, a young man lived in our flat, and he killed himself. I can only guess that the playful spirit I'd encountered was him. After that, we ended up moving out to a different flat on that block, and I didn't have any more experiences. Well, at least until my early teen years. This next experience isn't so much an external factor that I experienced. I was going through a really tough time mentally, struggling with eating and social life, something sacred to most 13-year-old girls. As has been theorized by other listeners, my mental state could well have contributed to being more open to whatever is out there. But more of that later. At 13 years old, I'd been at my school for a good while. I was comfortable and I knew my way around. Kids hung around after school on the front court, chatting and whatnot. I was no different. It was a gloomy day, and I remember it like it was yesterday. It was grey, moody, sad. The air felt thick and heavy, ominous even. And after noticing the peculiarity of the atmosphere, I mentioned it to my two friends. We'll call them A and L, with whom I was chatting with at the time. They shrugged it off, making jokes and saying it was just bad weather. But I couldn't shake the feeling. I just knew something was going to happen. It was starting to get chillier, so we went into the school cafe. It was perfect, as Elle mentioned, wanting to have a look at whatever the cafe was selling too. As you can imagine, the school's cafe was extremely popular and very busy. The queue was also daunting, so A and I decided to wait on the side and not stand there hungry in the mixed-up hustle and bustle of the main queue whilst Elle did and made a purchase. Taking a moment to breathe, I still just felt that looming scent of dread overcoming me again. I couldn't ignore it this time. I knew whatever was going to happen was going to happen fast, and that we needed to move. "A, I think we should leave," I said. "Okay, let's go and get Elle quickly," A replied. So we went and got Elle and hurriedly left. Not more than 20 seconds later, the light of the cafe cut out, and one area of the ceiling panels exploded, leaking foul brown and red liquid, soaking the floor. What gets me is that's exactly where A and I were stood a moment earlier, waiting for L. The lights flickered on a few moments later. Intuition, eh? But my final experience is probably the worst of the lot. And by worst, I mean the most terrifying. The first spirit I mentioned, the one who clung from the ceiling, wasn't malicious. This next one was. And whatever it was, it's something I never want to experience again. It was a winter day in the evening. The sky was darkening quickly, so naturally, my mum and I wanted to get home quickly. We were low on diesel, so my mum stopped off at a petrol station to fill up. After filling the tank up, my mum beckoned for me to go into the little convenience store to pay for the gas and maybe grab a snack on the way. As we paid for our Red Bull and our ice cream, the chatty man behind the counter mentioned how it was good we got here before it was pitch black. "The motorway always seems much scarier when it's dark," he said. We amicably agreed, saying, "Yeah, it's lucky." Nothing out of the ordinary with this interaction. So we get back into the car and we carry on with our journey home. After about maybe 15 minutes to go, I was dozing off in the front seat, in that half-awake, half-asleep, drowsy state. That's when a street lamp illuminated it. It was a huge reptilian humanoid-type creature. The best way I can describe what it was doing is this. Imagine an 8-foot-tall, muscular man stood on the side of the road, back facing the road, bent down double and swinging his arms side to side. That's what it was doing. Swinging gently. Its skin literally glistening in the streetlight. It took me maybe 2 seconds to clock in my head that that was no man. That wasn't normal. That wasn't human. "Mum," I gasped, "did you see that?" "No, I was looking at the road. Why?" she asked. I proceeded to describe exactly what I saw, terrified, practically shaking with fear in my seat. My mum said surely it was a man, but I swore I knew what I saw. We were getting close to home, and we lived in the countryside, so we have to drive down some pretty rough, twisted country lanes to get back home. These lanes don't have street lamps, they're not wide lanes. And as we're driving down one of these long, winding lanes, there, again, I spot something from far away as we approached. This time, it was a tall, thin woman. A tall, thin woman with straggly dark hair and sallow skin that almost glowed. Stood in her long, dirty white gown. Again, I shouted, "Mum! What is it?" "Don't surprise me like that when I'm driving," Mum shouted, surprised by my sudden outburst. I told her to look, and this time, she saw it. She saw the woman still on the side of the road, and she took a huge breath and kept driving. We didn't say a word to each other until we got home. For the next few days, I kept getting a pricking feeling that someone was watching me. Someone was following me everywhere, tapping and scraping in my walls at night, keeping me awake till late. I didn't tell anyone because they wouldn't believe me, at least I thought. But this kept going for months. I mentioned earlier how I think that being unstable mentally makes you more vulnerable to the paranormal. I'll take a quick pause to include a trigger warning now. I will mention sexual assault. So skip ahead maybe 15 seconds if you wish to. Before I saw those two figures that day, I'd recently been sexually assaulted by a classmate. At 14, this took a massive toll on me, and it caused quite a lot of gossip in my school. I was lower than ever. The worst part was that my family couldn't really understand just what I was going through. Though we did bring it up to the school and went through the apparent safeguarding measures, I was still in a really bad place and I felt broken. Like a part of me was missing. Due to this awful state of mental health, I do believe I was more susceptible to the paranormal. My priority going forward was to heal from the trauma I experienced. And so I began putting myself first, focusing on looking after myself mentally. The tapping, scratching, and feeling I was being watched never stopped suddenly. It just became less frequent, quieter. Then one day, I realized it had stopped, completely. Thanks so much for reading if you got this far. I really love the podcast and I think it's so one of a kind. The podcast and what you do, Kevin. I know my experiences aren't exactly the most dramatic, open and shut story you'll have received. But even if this isn't shared, I thank you for taking the time to read this. It means a lot to know someone knows. Thanks again. Let me know if you have any questions. All the best, Chloe. Well, firstly, Chloe, thank you for your submission and your kind words. I genuinely don't know what to say about how you were abused, the trauma you went through, but I will say it clearly takes a lot of courage to be able to get through something like that, to be able to talk about it. And if the scratching, for example, was a measurement of how you were recovering, if we tie in mental stress being a creation of a paranormal circumstance, then I'm absolutely gobsmacked by your inner strength to claim back your well-being from a circumstance out of your control. So, although you say this was not a dark episode, believe me, I don't know how much darker we can get than someone who's been what you've been through, and then you encountering this lizard person, someone on a ceiling, and both you and your mother witnessing this strange sight of a woman in a dirty gown, hair across her face. To me, that's pretty dark, especially to fit all of that just into one of our minisodes. So, Chloe, for your honesty, for your submission, which is terrifying, and for your bravery and how you got through such a heinous experience, by human beings, of course, and such a spiritually terrifying experience by whatever those things are, I genuinely commend you. So thank you, Chloe. Don't forget to submit your experience of any length. Head over to thedarkparanormal.com or simply click the link in the show notes. And until Friday, stay safe and take care.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.